Freedom Digital Media presents the Enough Podcast by Anna Larimore, helping the modern millennial woman rediscover her worth and identify her boundaries in business, relationships, friendships, and more. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Enough Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Larimore, and I'm so excited for today's episode. I was sick last week. If you listen to episode 4, you know that my voice sounded a little crazy and I was like kind of out of it and not really making sense at some parts. So sorry about that. I'm really bummed that I wasn't feeling 100% for that episode, because talking about mental health is so important to me and something I wanted to be just really, really present for. But I did my best. I hope you still enjoyed it. If you haven't yet tuned into that episode, I'd love it if you could. I'm very proud of the work Taylor is doing. She was our guest on that episode, and I know she will continue to inspire our listeners and beyond. But I am back. I'm feeling good today. I'm so happy to be here. We have Jordan back in the studio with us today.
Hey there.
We'll really be rotating our producers here throughout the episodes. Everybody has multiple projects they're working on all the time. So sometimes you'll get Jordan, sometimes you'll get John, who we had last week. We even had other producers here. You'll get to meet them in future episodes, so stay tuned. And I just found out the other day, one of my producers worked with Emeril Lagasse, the chef, for 2 years. That's correct, right, Jordan?
Yeah.
So I don't know how we even found that, I guess, or how I even found that out. I guess I saw a picture in the studio or something.
Yeah, we have a little memorial for it kind of thing, so it's always good to hold on to that one. And he had a lot of fun shooting it, so
yeah,
it's always
good. I was pumped.
About.
I was like, wow, the same people who are working on my show work on Emeril's show. So that's really cool to me. A little fun fact of the day. And then I think you guys said he sold his brand to Martha Stewart for like $50 million or something.
Yes, something ridiculous like that. So the man's just, you know, living the dream at this point.
Right? Here I was wondering, like, oh my God, I haven't heard his name in a while. Like, is he still kicking? But I guess he's just out there living his best life somewhere. Maybe we'll throw some BAMs into this episode. But we also have a guest who is sitting right next to me. She's kind of more of a co-host of the day. My cousin Laura is going to be with us in studio. Laura, go ahead and introduce yourself if you want.
Hi, everyone. My name's Laura. I grew up with Anna in Maryland. We went to school together. We've known each other since we were little. Our parents have been friends since they were younger. And now I live in Virginia. I work and live on a horse farm and work with animals all day. And I'm off today, so I came home to Maryland to hang out with Anna.
Yeah, so when I say she's my cousin, I actually have a biological cousin on my mom's side named Laura, a biological cousin on my dad's side named Laura, but then this Laura that I have here, we call each other cousins because we're like best family friends, and we've been like best friends since we were born. But it's just a little, it's too much of a mouthful to be like, well, our moms met in ninth grade, and ever since then, my parents are her godparents, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So we just say cousins, but that's Laura. She's going to be here for the duration of the episode, so very excited to have her. Where do we even want to start today, guys? I feel like we have so much we can talk about. I love talking about the deep, important stuff on the podcast, but I'm excited today to kind of just hang and talk about a little bit of pop culture and a little bit about our lives. We have probably a million funny stories we could tell.
Well, we had a lovely ride here.
We did. We did have a lovely ride here. Yeah. Do you want to recount the ride here?
Yeah, basically all we did was sing Disney songs the entire way. Mm-hmm. Belted Disney songs. Yeah. I think I really took The Lion King, Just Can't Wait to Be King.
To the next level.
I really took over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We put the windows down.
Well, we both also just saw the new Aladdin movie. Have you seen it, Jordan?
No, I haven't yet.
Amazing.
My God.
I don't want to talk about how I haven't seen it already, because I'm really upset about it.
We won't talk about it too much. But
I know the story.
Well, so. But here's the thing, though. I won't tell you what it is, because I don't want to ruin it. There's like a tiny little addition, little twist, if you will, and it was really precious. Oh. So once you see it, then we will talk about it on the podcast.
Okay, good.
Can't
Amazing.
Wait. You Very good.
See it, like, I'll see you soon.
Yes.
10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Great.
I would too.
Let me give you a little update on the matchmaker situation.
Please do.
Okay, so I know I told you guys about the matchmaker situation, but for those listening, if you didn't listen to the last episode, I was in studio with my producer, John, and I was telling him about how a matchmaker here in Baltimore reached out to me. She messaged me on Facebook, basically telling me that she found me and thinks that I would be a good fit for her client. She owns a matchmaking agency. And I was expressing to John that I had some concerns about that. Is it safe? How did they find me? What kind of person, you know, would utilize a service like this? And after talking about it a little bit, we decided that it would be safe for me to reach out. So I reached out. I called her. She said, call me at this number. I'm like,
okay. And she's a real person.
She's a real person.
Animated, like robot or anything?
No, real person. Okay. She kind of like cornered me when I left a voicemail and then she called me back. And when she called me back, she was like, I have my partner here. You're on speakerphone. I was like, oh God. Well, this is very serious. Okay, hello. I'm Anna, right? She's like, tell me about yourself. And so I did, but I'm also like, don't you know all about me? If you found me, I think I'm a good match for your client. But I told her. She told me she had just gotten back from Cape Town. So I'm like, oh, I used to live there. And she's like, oh, great. Well, I would love to be a guest on your podcast. And we should hang out and talk about Cape Town. And I was like,
okay. So you should have just started interviewing her.
Right, right. Well, I expressed my concerns. She kind of eased those a little bit. But it's funny because, and I'm not saying this to be disingenuous. I am very intrigued by this offer and this type of business. But I'd be lying if I didn't say, or if I said that I wasn't also interested in this for the sake of the podcast. Because, you know, I was a journalism major and this is obviously a very interesting concept, right? It's not an everyday thing to be contacted by a matchmaker. So I was kind of like, okay, well, doing a little investigative journalism here. I feel like I'm back in my, like, reporting days. Like, I'll just, like, contact her. I'll get the information. I'll see what comes of it. So we talked a little bit. We talked about the guy. He has a very high-profile job. I'm not going to say it on air, so I'll tell you guys what it is after this. But I guess that's why he wanted to utilize a service. I mean, how do you guys feel about the matchmaking service concept?
I didn't know it was a real thing.
Yeah, I only know it from, like, Millionaire Matchmaker, like the TV show.
Yeah, like a TV show.
But, I mean, just because I'm not in that world doesn't mean that it doesn't exist kind of thing.
Very true.
Is he a real person? Have you, like, internet stalked
him? He's a real person. I did internet stalk him. Can't really see his face because his job. I mean, I saw it, but, like, from the side. I can't say why.
Does he look the age that he's supposed to be? Do you know how old he is?
Yeah, I'll say how old he is. He's 32.
Okay.
So we'll see. I mean, she asked me, okay, great. Do you want to go on a date with him at this place, on this date, at this time? And I was like, okay. Yeah, sure. So I actually just got an email that we're going to go on this date. So I guess next week I'll report back.
Please do.
On how, I mean, by the time you guys are listening to this, it'll have already come and gone, but
Anna will either be with us or no longer with us.
Oh, God!
I'm kidding.
That's why, oh, my God, wait. Why don't you guys come with me and just pretend you're...
And we can just be at dinner, on a romantic dinner, like, off to the side, like, on a little two-top table.
Precariously placed so that we can both see what's
He'll
happening.
You'll never
like
know.
One of those little microphones.
And, right, and Jordan...
Stick it in the flowers.
Jordan,
like,
will have...
Like a Mary Kate Ashley type deal.
Yes, Jordan will have a recorder and we'll get live footage
for the pod.
No, I'm kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding at all. So we'll talk about that after.
At all.
Gosh, what else? Do you want to talk
about...
Do you
remember when we were little and you would make me write journalism articles and I wasn't into it at all?
No.
And you would literally make me write articles.
What?
And we would type them up in your parents' office. And you were so into it and you'd make me write articles about basketball and, like, all sorts of stuff. And I was not into it.
I wanted to talk about...
Yeah, like, I wanted to play House or, like, I don't know, Nancy Drew or something. But you're like, no, we're going to write articles now. So I guess that's what you
wanted
to be.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a journalist. That's right.
That's good.
Do you want to talk about the experience in my neighborhood recently?
Yes, a few weeks ago.
Okay, take it away.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, I came home to visit Marilyn, and I called Anna just to see what she's doing, hang out for a little bit, and she said she was walking in her neighborhood. So
I do that a lot. I like to take walks.
Yeah, just... Let everyone know that.
I'll let you know.
Very active. And so I come in the neighborhood, I park my car, we start walking, we walk down the street, and then by the time we come back, there's a new car, like, kind of near my car, kind of in between two houses, and there's just a guy sitting in it. To me, he just looked like a normal, like, chubby, like, random middle-aged guy just on his phone, didn't really think anything of it, but immediately Anna jumps to the conclusion that is a private investigator. Not only just a private investigator, but it's a private investigator after her.
He looked like a private investigator.
He never looked up one time. He wasn't watching us
whatsoever. That we know of.
That we know of. You're right.
He's a private investigator. He's good at that.
Of course he is. So Anna starts videoing it. She's like, Nancy Drew talking into her phone like it's a tape recorder, like saying the unsub is wearing
a 5'37".
Yeah, 5'7". He's a white male, probably 38 to 43 years old.
Guys, I watch a lot of Criminal Minds, right? Yes. You got to be prepared. Obviously. I wrote down his license plate.
Yep,
wrote down
he's in a black sedan. Car. Do we even know if it was a black sedan?
I don't even remember.
I don't either, but...
But my thing about it, though, is, like, I know it sounds, like, dramatic, but when you go through something like what I went through, unfortunately, a huge part of recovering from an experience like that is feeling paranoid. And it's not to say, like, I don't want to give him all the power. Like, I don't want him to be like, yes, I ruined her life. Like, now she's always going to be paranoid. But, I mean, to a degree, yeah, I always am kind of, like, looking out now more than I normally would because... Let's say he, like, totally wasn't a PI at all. I still, like, the fact that I still have that fear sucks.
It does suck.
And that sucks. Yeah. And then let's say he was, like, I mean, you know my situation. It's not far off to think that that might happen to me. So,
I think it's good to be ready. I mean, I know after watching Criminal Minds, if I see, like, old lady walking by my car, I hit the lock
button. Right, I'm ready to kick some ass.
I'm ready. 70 years old, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it was funny because he was not parked anywhere near your house.
Well, here's the weird thing, though. I'm not going to say where I live, but my neighborhood is very remote. It is not near anything where you would just be driving by and need to pull over somewhere, like, at all.
Yeah.
And if you were going to pull over somewhere, wouldn't you pull into the front of the neighborhood? Like, why would you go to the area where he went, which, again, I'm not going to say what area that was. Why would you go there, not park in anyone's driveway? Nobody got in the car. Nobody got out of the car. He was there for at least 20 minutes, probably 30 minutes.
We did drive by about 11 times.
Yeah.
And I was like, stare at him every time.
What are you doing?
Well, even if it was a private investigator, I'm sure old Mary is cheating on her husband Steve with Joe down the street. Like, I didn't think it had to do with you, but...
Yeah. I mean, I reported it. You have to.
Run the plates, report
Hell yeah. Well, I did ask my dad to run the plates. He said that's illegal, so he did not run the plates. But I did report it because you have to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I am not here.
We even went and told the neighbor that was out
Yeah, we
gardening.
Did. We told the neighbor.
Like, Anna's the new neighborhood watch.
I mean, hell yeah. I'm on my A game. Like... Kind of like what we talked about in a previous episode about self-defense. Like, that's very important to me now, more important than ever.
We should take a self-defense class.
Let's also talk about the Backstreet Boys. So I just wrote Laura a check. I just signed my life away. I just wrote her a very expensive check that is very overdue.
By about 8 months.
About 8 months.
Yeah, we decided we were going to go see Backstreet Boys.
We bought floor tickets.
We did.
In the row.
In the row, so that when they walk by, which they will, we will feel their sweat.
We will touch them.
We will.
Howie, I'm coming for you. I'm just kidding. Nobody likes Howie.
So I feel like Howie doesn't get enough love.
That's why I love him. Like, yeah. I'm a Brian girl. I mean, I'm also a Nick girl. Kevin.
Kevin, AJ.
All of them.
What is it? AJ, Brian, Kevin, Nick, and Howie.
I love them all. So.
I love them all. I think what I want to do is, like, after the concert, we'll have Laura back on the podcast. We'll talk about the concert. Hopefully, I don't faint this time. If you don't know me personally, you might not know this. I did faint the last time I saw the Backstreet Boys in concert. They came out as a surprise guest. I was in the pit. I was not prepared for this. I got really hot, like, from my feet to my head, and I just, like, fainted. And I it was real quick, but I had somebody put one of those, like, spray water fans in my face, and I was just, like, crying and screaming and singing and, like, the happiest of my life.
I'll be ready. I'll go to the dollar store, get one of the little spray fans. I'll be ready to catch you.
But I think what I want to do is, like, debrief. That's our word of the day.
Debrief.
We'll debrief the concert, and then we'll also do, like, a Backstreet Boys trivia game. Like, we'll fight each other about the Backstreet Boys.
Physically?
No, but it'll be, like, who knows more trivia, or, like, fill in the lyric or something.
Okay.
We'll do that. What song are you most looking forward to?
On their new album or just, like, all together?
Anything, all together.
Okay, well, I feel like they're definitely going to start with Backstreet's Back. I mean, I feel like they just have
to. Oh, it'll be everybody, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I feel like they just have to. And then they come out and they're going to get raised up. I don't know, Larger Than Life?
Oh.
I don't know, but on the new album, Passionate.
See, I haven't listened to Passionate. I'm the worst. New album, though, I do love No Place. No Place hits me in my feels.
Me too.
Right in my heart.
Yes.
Shape of My Heart.
Oh. I want it that way.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait.
Show me the meaning of being lonely.
I'm just really excited. I hope they do a lot of throwbacks.
We've got it going on.
Yes. I hope they do a lot of throwbacks, and all of the best of this new CD.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Very, very excited. Very looking forward to that. We are going to be, Laura and I and Jordan, we're going to be talking about The Bachelorette this season at the end of this episode after our interview with our guest that is coming up. So if you've been watching The Bachelorette, stay tuned. We are going to debrief that. but right now it's time for our other guests. So we are very excited to have her. We'll be hearing from Kelly Wynn Ferguson. She is the CEO and designer of Kelly Wynn. She's going to be calling into the podcast. There are like a million reasons why I'm excited to interview her. The most obvious being that she's just becoming such a growing name and is just the cutest person ever. If you follow her on Instagram, you know this. And I honestly kind of feel starstruck that I'm about to talk to her. It's like really making me giddy. Kelly graduated from Ole Miss, just like me. She's older than me, so we did not go to college together or anything like that. I believe that she actually launched her brand my freshman year of college. But if you're not familiar with her brand, it's possible that you're located in the north. Like I said, Kelly went to Ole Miss and she's from Texas. So she's based in Austin and her whole brand is like all over the SEC. You walk onto any southern campus and you see a ton of Kelly Wynn bags. But her handbags are also now carried in Nordstrom, which is incredible. So they're making waves all over the country. Her business just won Business of the Year in Austin Women's Magazine, which is so amazing. I have two of her bags myself, and I'm in love with them. And if you don't have one of her bags yet, you're going to want to get one after this episode. We are so ready to have her on the show. So let's get to it. Please welcome Kelly Wynn Ferguson. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are so excited to have you on the Enough podcast today and so grateful you've taken time out of your day to do this interview.
Of course.
I'm like a little starstruck getting to talk to you right now. I'm like, kind of fangirling like, oh my God, you know I exist.
Oh, you're sweet.
Oh. You're one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. Love how real you are. I feel like when I watch your stories, like your Coffee with Kelly segments, it feels really authentic and, you know, really genuine. And it makes me enjoy supporting your brand because I feel like you're just a really nice person. So I'm so happy to be talking to you for real.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Well, I'm happy to be on here and share my story and any advice I can offer.
Absolutely. So to kick off on that note, I'd love for you to tell us about when you decided to start your business. I did recently listen to another podcast interview that you did. So I know that you had a different career prior to starting your business. And I want to know if it was scary leaving that job and what was the catalyst for starting to design handbags?
Yeah, so I graduated from Ole Miss in 2009 and the job market was really tough at that point. It was during the recession and I just was thankful to get any job I could. And I landed a position at a public relations firm in Dallas, and it was a really small firm. There were three of us. So I got to have my hands in everything, which was really amazing opportunity to just learn. However, I had to write press releases every week, and I've never really been strong in my writing skills, so I would have a heart attack every time I had to pump out a press release. So I knew I didn't want to do that forever, but I learned so much about networking and writing, and I did graphic design in school, so I got to utilize my graphic design skills, and it was a really great experience. But in that third year, I did it for 3 years, and in the third year is really when I started to kind of get antsy and be like, okay, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? I cannot write press releases forever. And I had a mentor that was kind of like a mom figure to me in Dallas, and she, you know, we got together for coffee one day, and I was really frustrated in my job, and she was really the one that asked me, you know, the hard questions, and just for the first time, like, asked, you know, if you could do anything, what would it be? And I collected handbags as a little girl with my mom, and it's always kind of been a secret passion of mine, but I truly felt like it was an unrealistic career path, especially at the time when I started this business. There were really not many women my age starting their own business. And I put the fashion industry up on a pedestal, like it was really for celebrity type people. So I thought it wasn't an option for me. And this mentor was just like, you know, why not? Like, just start sketching and see what happens. I mean, the worst that could happen is you don't do it, you know, let's just try. So I did, and I started sketching at night and on my lunch breaks, meeting with, you know, having lunch meetings and that kind of thing. And I started to really gain momentum, and just once I kind of set my mind to it, there was no turning back. And yes, it was scary leaving my job, of course. Like, it's scary leaving a job that is comfortable and you're, you know, it's 9 to 5, you get paid, you know. Starting your own business is terrifying because you don't know what's going to happen. But I wasn't really fulfilled, and I just felt like there was more for me, and I felt like God had a bigger plan. So, I'm so glad that I just took that leap of faith, because it, you know, I really had to break down those walls of fear and just go for it. So it was terrifying, but it's so worth it. So I would encourage
anyone. And how has your life changed since your brand has, like, grown and evolved? I think you know, it's got to be pretty cool to walk into a store and see your bag that you designed. And, you know, it's probably really validating that that career that you left is, has just really served you and allowed you to grow and create something really cool.
Yeah, I mean, when I see anyone wearing a Kelly Gwynn bag, it just makes me smile. And it's really surreal. I mean, still 6 years in business. I mean, someone comes up to me and we, you know, are you Kelly Gwynn? We start chatting, and it's just every time it is just so surreal to me. So, yeah, it's, I mean, my life has changed so much since those beginning years to now. And you know, I'm a big believer of the saying, whom much is given, much is expected. And I really feel like the Lord is using me as an example for his good and just showing that it is possible to do the unthinkable. I had so many people along the way, you know, tell me, this is the hardest industry to break into. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you're probably not going to make it. And I just wouldn't take no for an answer. And that's something that I definitely want to share with people, is that I feel like it seems like with a lot of businesses, it's a kind of an overnight success. And that's just not the case at all. Like, you get knocked around so many times, knocked down, you have to keep getting back up every single time.
So I would love it if you could share a time where you did get knocked down and you maybe felt like this was going to be harder than you realized, or it wasn't going to work out for you. I'd love if you could share one of those, like, maybe I'm not enough moments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like I've had so many, but one in the very beginning that just always stands out to me, and I feel like I've shared it many times, but it really resonates, because when I first was starting out with, you know, I had my sketches and I was really excited, and it is scary, like, putting yourself out there and being vulnerable, and, you know, I had no idea if anyone would like my designs, if anyone would buy them. And the first manufacturer I met with in the U.S., I'd heard amazing things about him and just kind of thought off the bat, like, we were going to do business together, this is going to be great. And after I showed him my sketches, he stood up, crossed his arms, looked me up and down, and was like, is this a hobby, sweetie? Did not take me seriously, and that is something that has always been a challenge of mine, because I look really young. I'm 32, and people, when they find out my age, they're constantly like, wait, what? I thought you just graduated college, you know, because I just look really young, and that's hard. I mean, I'm sure I'll like it when I'm older, but it is definitely a struggle. And, you know, that manufacturer is actually no longer in business, and the manufacturer that took a chance on me in the very beginning, I mean, we've done some really incredible things together. So, you know, I could have in that moment been like, you know, this was a really reputable manufacturer. They turned me down. They didn't take me seriously. And I could have just given up at that moment, because that really knocked me down. And I didn't. And I feel like I've had a really great support system of my family and my faith and my friends, but then also other women who are, you know, in business, who are entrepreneurs, just trying to encourage me along the way. And that's also why I feel really passionate about doing things like this podcast, like trying to share any advice I can and mentoring all women, especially younger women who are just kind of setting out on their career path, because I've had so many people along the way help me and give me advice. So it's really important to me to do that.
So something, I'm so glad you just said that because there's something I wanted to share with you. I was going to kind of say it at the end as we were going to wrap up, but I'll just say it now because you kind of just gave it an intro. There is a girl that I grew up with. She's older than me, but we went to the same high school, who started a very big company. I won't name the company because I would still love to have them on the podcast at some point. But she told me no about being on the podcast, and I've been really lucky and grateful that everybody I've reached out to has told me yes. So to get a first no was a little bit of a blow to the ego. And, you know, yeah. I do understand that there's a lot that goes into this. I mean, people are very busy. And of course, it has to align with your branding and your values. But it just really was so cool for me. I reached out to you kind of as a reach. Like, it's kind of like when you're applying to colleges and you're like, oh, I'll apply to Harvard, but I won't get in. Like, that's kind of how I felt about reaching out to you. And like, you know, one of the girls on your team, Emery, she's my pledge sister. So I was like, I love her so much. She's so sweet.
The best.
The best. Love her. But I was like, you know, worst comes to worst. If Kelly never responds, like, of course, I'll ask Emery. But you responded right away. And this was, I guess, in the fall when I was really creating my lineup for guests. And not only did you responded right away. You were so excited. And that just really was so cool for me because I'm like, Kelly Wynn does not need to do my podcast. Like, this girl is taking the world by storm. She is building her business. She's a mom. Would love to talk about that in a little bit too. But the fact that you were like willing to take time out of your day and also so enthusiastic about that just to help like a fellow rev and help out another female entrepreneur who's starting out really means so much to me. And it really, you know, encourages me to want to, you know, pass it on and do the same when, if ever, I said when,
of course.
If ever my podcast, when, you know, gets to when, be
when, that's something there else. You always have to say when. You cannot say if. That is already setting yourself right up for just failure.
Right, right.
Thank you so much. You're so sweet.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks so much. I feel, you probably feel this way too. I feel like it's really cool how, obviously, like, we didn't go to college together, but we both went to Ole Miss. And yeah. I think it's really cool how there's a lot of female entrepreneurs coming out of Ole Miss who are going to be on the podcast or who are in my network or who are in your network. And I just love to see people, you know, doing big things and helping each other out because that's kind of what it's all about, right? It's just connection.
Yes, for sure. Oh, 100%. And that is one of my biggest pieces of advice is just to use your connections, especially with your school. And I mean, I feel like Ole Miss, it runs so deep. Like anyone who reaches out that it's like, hey, I went to Ole Miss, I'm just instantly like, oh my gosh, like we have this connection already, you know? So of course I was so willing to do the show, the podcast. But also I really love what you're doing with this and the whole meaning behind it. You're enough. I mean, it's so hard. I feel like we struggle as women so much that we just don't feel like we're enough because kind of the way we're built, you know, we feel like we need to do it all. Like we feel like we have the pressure to do it all and do it all really well. And if we don't do it all as well as we expected, then we just feel like we're not enough or that was a failure when really that's not true. You need to look at like everything that you're doing, like you're saying, I am running my own business and I am a mom and I'm learning like how to juggle it all. And also kind of what my biggest, kind of what I'm really focusing on this year is giving myself grace. And I feel like that goes along with what, you know, that feeling of, okay, I am enough. So, yeah, I definitely want to share more about being a mom and business because it really is totally changed my world and my perspective and my priorities have changed everything.
Yes, let's talk about Neely Wynn. I love her. I don't even know her. I love her. I love last night your, I think it was last night, your Instagram stories of her with that new like little trick that she was doing.
Yes,
that was hysterical. But the best part was when she was doing it to herself.
I know, it's so funny. Like they change every week and they really are watching you, everything you're doing. I mean, and just teaching her this little, for people who can't see, but it's the little with your lips that you do with your finger. It's so funny. And now
that's
she's
so
doing
cute.
It and it just, she cracks me up every day. And so I'm really trying to just like the little, like little moments like that. Like I'm like last night, I'm just really trying to be present in those moments because they go so fast.
And how old is she?
She's 10 months already. I mean, feels like yesterday. Can't believe she's going to be a year July 30th. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would love if you could share a little bit about what it's like to be a new mom and, you know, be a bit. And not only do you obviously own and run this business, you're the designer as well. Like you have a lot of different role. You wear in a lot of different hats. So I would love if you could kind of share what it's been like to go through that transition since obviously you had the business before the baby and kind of what it's like to manage it all and do it all in the best way that you know how.
Right. Definitely. Well, Kelly Wynn is my first baby, so I do feel like I have two babies. But, you know, it's funny because people are always like, how do you balance it all? And my first response is, what is balance? You know, it is the hardest thing ever. I have a newfound respect for all moms working or stay at home because we truly do it all. And I definitely am more efficient with my time because I have zero time to waste these days. So, you know, I used to wake up in the mornings answering emails in bed and then, you know, keep it going to the wee hours of the night. But now my goal is just really to be present whatever I'm doing. So when I get home from work, it's time to be with Neely Wynn and cook dinner, usually just for her. You know, play, eat, take bath, get in bed. My husband rolls in around, you know, bedtime and reads her a book. And it's just really all just really sweet moments. And, you know, going back to work was really tough after having Neely Wynn because you kind of have this feeling of mom guilt and because you don't want to leave her. So you don't want to leave her, but then I was ready to go back to work and I felt like I needed to tend to things going on at work. And so it was hard during that time to try to figure out how to juggle both and be happy doing both. I love Kelly Wynn and my business more than anything in the entire world. So it's like, how do I mesh, you know, both worlds together? Because Neely Wynn and my husband, I mean, Neely Wynn has brought us the greatest joy we've ever experienced in our life. So it's like, I have these two huge things. And of course, I'm a wife too. Like, don't forget about my sweet husband who is there and so supportive. And I went through a difficult time. I was experiencing postpartum depression around, you know, when Neely Wynn was 4 months to about 6-7 months, and it was really, really tough just coming home from work and just feeling sad and really not having that passion to design, which was really hard because, like you said, like, I am the designer, and so I was like, what is going on with me? Like, this is just so not me. And it was just really tough because I wanted to just snap out of it. And I finally got some help and, you know, was talking through that with a Christian counselor and just really feel like I'm in such a better place now. But it really is so hard for moms to just, you know, everyone has different experiences with breastfeeding and everything. I mean, it's just so challenging. I started waking up 30 minutes early in the morning before Neely Wynn gets up to just kind of have my time to myself and to just sit there in my quiet time and just start my day off right has really just helped me so much. I feel like I'm still learning on how to juggle it all, but I really feel like I'm just trying to give myself grace and being content in all the moments. And something, you know, I was really inspired by was the Clemson coach when they won the national championship football. He said, you know, we are not built for mountaintops. We're built for the climb. We're built for the journey. But we often are always looking for the next thing or, you know, onto the next mountaintop. And if the ordinary moments were taken away, we would miss them. And that really resonated with me because kind of with work and my personal life, you know, I'm you're always kind of looking for that next mountaintop, like the next store we can get in, the next account, the next award we can win, you know, the next sales goal we could hit, you know, just there's always something more. And then even with, you know, Neely Wynn, like, okay, she's crawling, now let's get to walking, and, you know, now she's eating solids, now let's just get to, I'm so tired of cleaning bottles, like, let's just get to the 1 year so she doesn't have to use bottles anymore. Like, you're always kind of, I feel like just, that's just, we're innate, like, we're always kind of on to the next thing. And I just thought his quote was so amazing, because, you know, you do need to take a step back and really just enjoy and find joy in the ordinary moments, the little moments, just like last night with playing with Neely Wynn and doing that little trick, like just like being present. And so I'm really focusing now as a new mom and a businesswoman, just like to really enjoy the ride, because it's all about the ride. I mean, like, what do you do when you get to the top of the mountain? Like, you, there's only, you know, you can't keep going to the top of the mountain. You've got to enjoy the climb. So
right. And I think, too, there is something healthy to a certain degree about, like, striving for the next thing, because that means, like, you have goals and ambitions and you want more for yourself. But I think it's also kind of like what you're saying, like, giving yourself some grace and just kind of taking a minute to appreciate what you've got going on now and just being proud of that, right? I mean, I was just telling Jordan and Laura here, my cousin, who is my co-host of the day, I was just telling them, okay, guys, I think we're going to hit this number of downloads today. And while I do think we are going to hit it and that'll be awesome, it's really just like, maybe I need to just kind of appreciate the number of downloads I have now, because,
yeah, right,
you know, it's great.
Right.
I think it's, you know, it's a balance, right? Like, you always want to have goals for yourself, but you also need to, like, appreciate the moments that you're in now, the present moments.
So just a quick story. When we got into Nordstrom, it was just the greatest, most surreal moment. I mean, I was 10 months, I mean, sorry, 10 months, oh my goodness. I was 7 months pregnant with Neely Wynn at the time, and we got the email. So this fun story, the way we got into Nordstrom was we sent the buyers two clear bags and two tickets to Taylor Swift concert and said, hey, go try these bags out. Let us know what you think. And they went to the concert, had the best time, and called us or emailed us the next day and was like, hey, we want to try these out. And it was such an accomplishment because, you know, we've been reaching out to big box stores for a while now. And just, we're like, we've got to think outside the box. Like, we've got to get creative because they get a million requests, you know, a million samples all the time. So that was such a surreal moment where they actually responded, and not only responded, they wanted to carry the line. And so I was in that moment, you know, I was so excited. I wanted to relish in the moment. And I called one of my other entrepreneur friends and shared the news with her. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to take this time to just be excited. And she's like, you know what, that's really cool that you're doing that, because it's so hard for anyone to just be excited in the moment because you're always on to the next. You're like, okay, I got into Nordstrom, now what does that mean? Like, what do we got to do, you know? So how can we get another big box store? And I thought that was interesting that she said that, because I was just so excited in the moment. And so I think that's just important for us to celebrate, to strive for your goals, but also to celebrate when you reach those goals.
Absolutely, because it's worth celebrating.
Yeah.
I love that you brought up the clear bags. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about, you know, what inspired you to do that. Obviously, you're making waves. It was a brilliant idea. I'm seeing them all over the Grove. I'm seeing them all over the place. So I'd love if you could kind of tell our listeners why you went that direction.
Yeah, well, it has been a game changer for us, no pun intended, but it truly has changed business, because when I first heard about the rule, so the NCAA and the NFL came out with the clear bag policy requiring women to wear a clear bag into the game, unless it's a tiny bag, but it can only be the size of your hand, 4.5 by 6.5. And, you know, as soon as I heard this, I was really disappointed, because a lot of women were buying my bags to wear to football games, and it's not just football games, but everyone kind of thinks of football as the first sporting event, but it's really all sporting events, concerts, I mean, even golf tournaments, you name it, it's everything. And when we first kind of heard about this rule, I was disappointed. And we knew we were going to have to make a change because a lot of our wholesale accounts were saying, hey, this rule is happening and we're going to have to be investing a lot of our dollars in clear bags, but there's nothing on the market yet that is something that we would want to carry in our store, because what was out there was really just only cheapy clear bags that are going to fall apart, you know, within after two wears kind of thing. And for me, I wanted to design something that wasn't going to cramp your style. I wanted it to have the quality that I that my customers expect from Kelly Wynn and that I expect and that I personally want to wear, because I don't design anything that I don't want to wear. And I was ecstatic when we finally got the final sample and we were able to get it exactly how I wanted it. And of course, our best-selling style is the Mingle Mingle Mini. So we decided to go ahead and just make a clear version of the Mingle Mingle Mini. And we use a really thick PVC, much thicker than most brands out there on the market, with, you know, our genuine leather and then jewelry grade chain. And it makes it just a really fashionable clear bag that you want to wear to the games. So that's, I mean, we really decided to do it because of all these rules that were happening. We knew the handbag industry was changing because of this. And now it's been 2 years since we launched, and we're launching with new styles. We've got a belt bag that can also be worn as a crossbody that's just really fun and on trend right now. For me, we have, for the moms, we have a clear backpack, and it's not just for moms, but it is for women who need to carry a lot more into the game. And it could also, the flap can zip off and it can be a tote, so you can wear it into an NFL game because they don't allow backpacks. So we're trying to think, you know, function, versatility, and style with the clear bags. And I'm just really excited about it. I'm really excited about some other things we have in the works. And it's just, it's become, I mean, it's just a game changer for our business. And that's, you know, what Nordstrom started carrying the clear bags first. And they were so successful. They told us that we were outperforming some of their staying brands, which means it's a brand that has been tried and true for many seasons. So that was a huge accomplishment. And then they started carrying our leather bags. So it's just been a wild ride with the clear bags in the last 2 years. It really has.
So I love that you brought up the Mingle Mingle Mini, because I want to share a story with you.
Yeah.
Do you guys listen to Off the Vine by Caitlin Bristow, the podcast?
I do.
You do? Okay. So she does this thing, you know this, called confessions. Mm-hmm. I have a Kelly Wynn confession.
I love it.
My mom's not going to like that I'm sharing this, but I think you'll think it's funny, Kelly. Yeah. Okay. So Kelly Wynn is actually the first designer that I bought with my own money, the first nice bag that I bought with my own money. And I bought it at Cicada on the square. For those of you who are listening and you're not familiar with Ole Miss, the square is kind of like our little downtown area, and Cicada is a very nice store there. And I bought the jet black boa, which is like my favorite bag ever. And I really need you to bring it back, Kelly. Like, I would do anything, because I bought it right before my 21st birthday, and I still have it, but I had a little too much fun on St. Patrick's Day, and I threw up in my Kelly Wynn bag.
No!
I did. So I had it cleaned. But when I did that, it, like, messed up the suede, obviously.
Mm, yeah.
So I have it, like, it's professionally cleaned, and it's just, like, in a box in my closet, but like,
so
I can't
funny.
Use it.
Oh my goodness.
But I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because I love it. So I really need you to bring back the jet black boa. It's my favorite bag.
I feel like someone else has recently said that to me. So it's funny that you said that. Yeah.
About the jet black boa, or about throwing up in your bag?
No, about the jet black boa. That's so funny. We are launching with a similar jet black boa version. It's going to be a black kind of snake with gold hardware. It's be very similar to the jet black boa. I think you'll like it. So we're launching around the holidays.
Okay, thank God. And then it was also funny that you guys brought back the Boss Lady, because I have Boss Lady as well, the Mingle Mingle Mini Boss Lady. And there was a boyfriend I was dating at the time who got it for me for Christmas, and it was sold out. I don't know where or how he found it, but he found it somehow. And you know how, like, when you date someone and you break up, you try to like get rid of everything. Yeah. Like I sold my jewelry. I like got rid of t-shirts, but I'm like, I am not getting rid of this bag. I'll wear this bag proudly every day. I love this bag.
I love it. That's great.
So yeah, my Kellyman bag is the one thing I kept.
And the name, you know, boss lady, you're a boss lady. So you got to keep
it. Thank you. I love that bag. I have so much in that print. I think that print is like a trend that has like really stayed around for a while.
Yeah. So that's definitely become our signature. Everyone was asking for it to be back, to bring it back in stock. And so we did launch it with our new classics line, with our also anniversary gold that has been really popular. So we've got those two classic styles, I mean, colorways now, so people can purchase and know that it's not going to sell out. So
I love it. They're so pretty. So a couple other questions I have for you. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your Dare to Win mission. I would love for you to elaborate a little bit about what that mission means for you and for your brand and how you hope that it is inspiring those who follow you guys.
Well, never in a million years did I know that the name Kelly Wynn would have so many fun puns and different ways to use it when I first decided to launch this business and call it Kelly Wynn. Just also for people who don't know, Wynn is my middle name. So a lot of people think Wynn was my last name. I made a name and I get emails all the time that's like, Miss Wynn, and that's not my last name. It's Kelly Wynn Ferguson. But anyway, so Dare to Win came from from Dare to Be Fabulous is what I first started our motto as, and then it evolved into Dare to Win. And it started off with daring with your style and daring with stepping outside of your comfort zone and pairing a pattern bag with a pattern outfit and just kind of being bold with your style. And then it's evolved into daring to win in all things you do in life. So dare to win, dare to be the best boss, the best wife, the best employee, the best daughter, the best friend, whatever it is, just dare to be your best and dare to win at everything you do in life. And so it's a great reminder. I actually set a reminder on my phone that every morning when I wake up, it says dare to win. So just to remind myself to dare to win the day. So that's where it comes from.
I love that. We're going to call this episode Dare to Win, by the way. That's going to be the name of this episode. And then my last question for you, I would love to hear your advice. So obviously you touched on how the fashion industry is so incredibly hard to break into. And then just starting a business is difficult too as well. But I want to know what advice you would give to, you know, a younger girl who is looking to get their foot in the door in fashion or even to just start a business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the one thing for sure that I just have to say is you just cannot let fear stand in the way, because if you're waiting for fear to go away, you'll be waiting a lifetime. So I thought in the very beginning that I just kind of had to kick fear in the booty, you know, in the beginning and put one step in front of the other. But what I've realized now in 6 years in business, that I'm just constantly having to overcome that fear with everything that I do and every step and new journey we take through Kelly Wynn. So definitely just don't let that fear get in the way. You know, the other thing is what I kind of touched on earlier, but it is just so important, is to use your connections and your network and to just kind of make a list of everyone that you know in terms of like organizations, like your sorority, and if you're part of an alumni association, if there was a teacher that was really impactful during school, just anyone that you can reach out to let them know, like, hey, I'm trying to start this business, and if you have any connections in the industry, I would love your help, because that's really what it takes. Because if someone reaches out for you or connects you to someone that they know, then that person is more willing to meet with you or to share advice. So that's really important to do, and to just be curious. And in the first year, I spent a year of research and kind of flying all over the country to meet with anybody that would talk to me. And I did start with my Ole Miss connections first and realized that there were other women at Ole Miss that were pursuing their own dream and starting their own business. And it was different industries, but you can learn so much from hearing how someone starts their business, whether it is in the same industry or not. So just really like asking questions and hearing their stories and reaching out to people that you know is just, I mean, that is just number one, the only way to first start out with starting your business.
I love it. I totally agree. I mean, that's essentially kind of what I'm doing here, right?
Yeah.
It's like just looking into people I know or people I want to know who are either in my direct network or, you know, we went to the same school or we have a mutual friend or anything like that. And it never hurts to ask.
No, it really doesn't. No.
So, all right. Well, Kelly, we are just so grateful that you tuned into the podcast today. I'm so excited for everybody to listen to this. I know it's going to inspire a lot of people to dare to win and hopefully buy your bags. I feel like also, I didn't share this, I forgot, but the Mingle Mingle Mini, obviously you have a bunch of different sizes, but the Mingle Mingle Mini is my favorite size bag ever. It's like big enough to fit all my stuff, but it's not too big. Like it's not heavy. It's not, you know.
That's what I hear from everyone. They're surprised how much it can fit. So
it's the best. And then I love the little pocket in there with the zipper. I always put like something important in there.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, the name is fun too. Take it out and mingle mingle tonight.
It's so cute. It's so cute. Well, give our listeners, if you will, a little plug on where we can find you on Instagram, where we can find your brand, and where we can shop your bags.
Yeah, so our Instagram is at shopkellywynn, and our website is kellywynn.com, and that's W-I-N-N-E. And you could also shop our bags on Nordstrom.com and look for a local retailer near you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kelly. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right, bye. That was such a fun interview. I loved that one.
She's super cute.
Yeah, she is just adorable, and her whole story and how everything is kind of like working together is really cool.
It was honestly, you know, I know we obviously already talked about this in the interview and I got to tell her this, but it was one of those things where I hoped that she would be on the podcast. I hoped that she would want to do something like this, but I understand, you know, she's busy and anything like this is obviously something that's taking away from her important life. So I'm just really grateful that she wanted to come into the podcast today, to call in, because I was really inspired by that.
I was too. I liked how she talked about being present and the climb. Is it bad that all I could think of was Miley Cyrus?
Me too.
Hannah Montana would be the climb. That's all I could think about. I was singing in my head the whole time.
I know. As she's saying that, not going to lie, like this is my ADHD. I'm like envisioning the music video. Yes.
I'm literally, I am so not
the camera
to work foot mountain tops.
Yes, and not even
like, yeah, Clemson coach. Totally. I remember that. No.
I also love how she gave the Taylor Swift tickets with the purse to that. That was really creative.
So funny, right? This is obviously very different, but it kind of reminded me of how I'm obviously in the process of reaching out to a lot of brands right now for sponsorships for the podcast. And I'm trying to think about something that's going to set me apart. Obviously, my podcast is brand new, so while I do believe in the value proposition, it's new, so it's still kind of a risk, right, for someone to invest. And when she said that, I was like, ooh, what are some things that I can do to strengthen my value proposition, essentially. So that kind of got my wheels spinning. I was glad that she touched on that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to give Taylor Swift tickets to the 200 brands that I DM'd on Instagram last night.
Yeah.
Can't afford that.
No, but it was like Tanya Rad when she was signing up she was sending in stuff.
The baby shoes?
Yeah, she sent a bunch of baby shoes to people and just said, like, try to get my foot in the door.
Yep.
And it was like a little baby shoe. And
yes.
That was how she got the Ryan Seacrest show.
Exactly. Yeah.
That really reminded me of that.
I think it's like, it's just really cool to hear about how people got creative enough to make the big things happen.
And that sets them apart from everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, just even to, like, her products now, because even though she didn't really start with the clear bags, it seems
right.
Like the clear bags is such, like, a great opportunity and, like, place to be. Because I don't know if you've seen clear bags at sporting events, but they're not the most adorable.
And these are super, super cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hers are so freaking awesome. But, yeah, it's cool that here's the product, here's an opportunity to use the product, instead of just, like, sending in someone, visualize yourself in these places. Like,
right.
And, I mean, Taylor Swift, so.
Right.
Yeah, I would do anything if someone gave me Taylor Swift tickets.
Oh, God.
Not like that.
okay. Let's pivot to Now I'm thinking Friends. Why am I using the word pivot all the time? Let's pivot to Bachelorette. I'm pulling up my notes. Laura, you're going to die laughing at my notes.
Okay,
so just a little disclaimer. I think I've been watching The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise since the beginning of time, but I have been really busy these days, obviously, with my job and the podcast and everything going on. So every time I sit down to watch the show, I kind of find myself like buried into my phone or my laptop, like, oh, I'll just respond to these emails from a brand, or, you know, this email from Jordan, or I'll start writing this episode or whatever. Or I'll reach out to this guest. And then I'm just in a rabbit hole of the podcast. I'm not paying attention to the episode. So this week I rewatched the most recent episode and then I started taking notes. I'm trying to pull up my notes. I started taking notes because we have so much to discuss.
We do. Have you ever been to Newport, Rhode Island?
No.
Is it that exciting? Like,
okay, the travel budget on the show is...
No, but the fact that they were like, Newport, like, yes.
I think the producers tell them they have to say that.
Okay.
I think they're like, we're going to count to three, and on three, shout Newport.
Yeah, like, they were so excited to go to Rhode Island. I thought they were going to, like, I don't know, Polynesia or something.
Yeah, something cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, go for it.
Who were your favorites?
Okay. My favorites... I'm a Jed girl. Jed is my boyfriend.
I don't think so. I mean, I think he's a front runner for her, but I'm not totally into it. I love how he was honest about the reasons of why he's going on the show.
Okay, let's talk about that. You tell me how you feel about that, and then I'll tell you, because...
Well, I feel like no one goes on it for the right reasons.
Well...
Like, no one's going to go on and be like, okay, I'm going to find my husband on there.
Okay, so I can speak from experience. When I say that I... Here we go. Here's my notes. Look at this.
Very detailed.
When I was almost on the show, I truly did, and still do, want to find someone. Like, there was never anything in me that was like, oh, I hope I don't fall in love, or like, I don't even care about falling in love. Like, of course I do. Yeah. I think, like, I don't know, I think that's just, like, human nature to, like, want to connect and, like, want to be loved and want to give love. So I was like, hell yeah, like, why would I not want to find that in a different way? Clearly what I'm doing now isn't working. Why not try my hand at something else?
Yeah.
That being said, I think everybody has a selfish motivation to some degree.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all of these, you know, their careers. Some of them have multimedia careers. Some of them are models. Like, of course they're thinking about that exposure and that platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I was like, Jed, that's kind of an unspoken rule. Like, we know that you're here for your music. Just don't say it out loud.
Yeah, but I think it was sweet. Because that meant he was really falling for
you're
her.
You're right.
Like, he admitted it. Whereas everyone else doesn't admit that.
I liked that he admitted it, but I also was like, oof, that was a risk.
But when he said, if I had a tail, I'd wag it.
That,
my heart melted. Like, that hit me hard.
Also, can we talk about how, I hope you know what I mean, something with his mouth when he talks is, like, really hot.
I don't know.
it's not a lisp.
I love lisps. I really do too. Lisps.
It's not a lisp. It's like, I don't know how to explain it, but I need you to watch his mouth.
Okay, I'll start paying attention to his mouth from here on out.
Also, let's talk about Hannah's awkward facts.
That was really weird.
That really made me uncomfortable.
I felt like he wasn't into it.
No, but he had to, like, nod along because, like, you're on a date.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know, but I felt like he wasn't really feeling it.
And she was like, this is the Thomas Edison Hotel. I decided that it was founded in 17, what, I was like,
this one where Ben Franklin did his first interview.
Yeah.
All these things.
Like, Ben Franklin isn't jumping on a podcast. Like, what are you talking about?
See, I feel like, and this is from, like, a totally objective perspective here because I don't watch the show, but I feel like that is, like, an open opportunity to see, like, does that person's weird match your weird? Like, can you buy, can you go with it? Can you just make stuff up and just roll with it? Because, I mean, I live my day just seeing how far someone will, like, go with me. And luckily my boyfriend will just run with me on something crazy and we'll just go. So I feel like she could have been using that as, like, a bit of a tactic to see, okay, can he, like, joke and, like, is he quick? Like, can he come up with stuff kind of thing?
Right.
So whether that was intended or not, I don't know.
Yeah, it probably
it
was.
It was awkward, but it was very Hannah. Jordan, tell everybody about what your dad said about Hannah, because I think this is hilarious.
Oh, my. So my dad, like, has gotten so into the show. Like, he knows way more about it than I do. And he was just like, I am team Hannah. Like, she needs to find her love, and she can do it. And he's like, I'm all about it. And I'm just like, Dad, who is... First of all, like, when we first started talking, I was like, who is Hannah? He was just like, The Bachelorette. I was like... I'm sorry. Sorry for being so out of touch. But I was so proud of him. And he was so invested in her.
I love that, right? Because it's like, I think a lot of us, like, I guess I'm making a generalization here, but I liked Hannah on The Bachelor. I didn't, like, love her. I did like her a lot, but I think that being The Bachelorette gives everybody an opportunity to completely see you in a new angle. And I have loved watching how she has just set boundaries. Like, she is, like, walking, talking, living, breathing enough podcast mission. She's like telling all these guys when they're in the wrong, and she's saying, I'm putting my foot down and I'm not going to accept that into my life. And then she just sends them home, and I'm like, yes, queen.
I love it.
Send them home.
Yeah.
Like, very first episode when she sat down that guy Scott and called him out in front of everybody, and then she sent him home.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that move, like, sets the tone too.
It
like
does.
She's not here to play around.
No.
Like,
not.
She's not here to get walked over. Like, which is a great thing. It's a great choice to take her from the last season.
And I think it's cool because she, if I have this correct, she's 24, and I mean, that's only a year younger than I am, but I feel like, you know, and a huge part of the reason why I started this podcast and this brand is because, unfortunately, a lot of people don't learn those type of boundaries until later in life. They have to get burned before they realize or recognize that they need to do some work within themselves to set a boundary. And I love watching somebody at a young age set that boundary because it's a great example.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, she's awesome. I liked her since after the final rose.
Yeah, I did too. Let's talk about the Jed date with basketball. Did you catch when he tickled her?
No.
Okay, I mean, it was so precious, but, like, weird, but, like, so great. I need you to rewind it and watch. She, like, had both her arms up, like, blocking him from a shot, and he just, like, bent down and, like, tickled both her armpits.
I might punch someone in the face.
It was, like, so funny and unexpected.
I am not a tickle person.
And then with the Halo Top, the commercial and eating, please make it a little bit more obvious that Halo Top is a sponsor of The Bachelor.
Yeah, there's just a guy in the middle of the park with a little funny little ice cream hat on that no one wears. Like, that was from the 1950s. And he's just standing there with a Halo Top basket or whatever. And they come up and he's like, oh, you want some ice cream? And gives it to them.
But
like, that happen in my life?
I'm going to call them.
Halo Top?
Yeah. Maybe we'll sponsor the podcast.
Oh, okay.
They're clearly throwing out some big bucks on ABC.
Just call them.
What do you think about Garrett?
I never even knew who Garrett was until the very last episode when he was like, I'm crushing on you hard.
Okay, I didn't know who he was either. He's very hot. But I don't like that he's a part of the drama.
I don't either. I felt like he wasn't up until the last. I don't like any guys that are part of the drama.
Like, the name of this game is to just shut up and focus on the relationship that you have or the relationship that you're trying to build.
Yeah, and not be in the drama.
No. Like, I don't know why everyone is obsessed with Mike. Mike is a bully.
He kind of is. He's like, I think he's...
He organizes the drama.
He kind of does. I feel like he blows it out of proportion.
Yeah, I don't like it.
He kind of makes up stuff and then goes to Hannah.
Yeah.
And tells her about it.
It's weird. Let's talk about what everybody wants to hear. Let's talk about the fight between the Lukes.
The Lukes. I think they both need to go.
They both need to go.
Luke S., she's never been interested in, and she's never going to be interested
Luke
in.
Luke S. is a weenie.
He is a wiener.
I'm so sorry if you're listening and you think that's rude, but I'm like, you are not into Hannah. It's very obvious to me.
And she's not into him.
And she's not into you. So what are you fighting for?
I don't know.
Your tequila brand? He said it himself. He was like, it's not even a brand yet. Like, you should have, like, done some work on that before going on this show, if that's the reason why you're even here.
I don't know. I don't like either Luke.
Let's talk about, though, how freaking funny. Or maybe you don't think it's funny. I was dying laughing. Luke P's staring is so
kind of creepy.
But it's, like, so funny. Like, I wish that we had, like
during
video
the game
component to this podcast so that if you're not someone who watches The Bachelorette, you could see my face right now, but he does this.
It's terrifying.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really been
But Luke
fan.
S. is very, like, Luke P. pushed me.
Yeah.
Right? Shut up.
He's, like, a wimpier.
Nobody wants to hear that. We all know that Luke P. is in his own world. Just leave him there.
Yeah.
Just go do you.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we talk about Cam for a moment? I know he's gone now.
Cam's sweatshirt and suit jacket situation was not acceptable.
I just don't get how he, like, was like, okay, guys, like, I really need some time to talk to Hannah before this starts. Like, I have something really important to tell her, and I'm probably going to go home after this. Like, I don't think she's going to be able to handle it. And then he's like, they told me my legs were going to have to be amputated. And then I had this puppy, and I had to get rid of the puppy. And me and the puppy got along really well. And then my grandma died. And then, and now, for some reason, he has both his legs. And never really touched on if they're amputated or not. And he's like, I'm just glad you, I could, like, put it all out there for you, Hannah.
Yeah.
It was the most random thing I've ever heard in my life.
I do understand that, obviously, what we are seeing is, like, the tiniest bit of, you know, this 10 weeks of filming. Like, I get that, but I can't really figure out how that would have fit in an appropriate setting. Like,
no,
that was just uncomfortable.
It was really weird. And then he's like, I gave up a lot to be here. I left my job. I'm like, everyone left their job.
I feel like that's already like an early guilt trip into someone.
It is. Like, it was a Hail Mary.
I mean, I respect the Hail Mary play, putting everything out there on the line.
Sure. Like,
do I think it was a bit
but
much?
But, like, talking about having your legs amputated?
And then he didn't have them amputated. I thought he was about to pull up his pant leg, and there was going to be an amputated leg, but there wasn't.
Yeah, he never touched
on what the hell went on. I really was very confused that whole conversation.
But her face was, like, you could tell that she was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, like, what is going on right now?
That's a bit heavy of an opening line.
That was heavy. Let's talk about Pilot Pete.
I love Pilot Pete. He threw her up against the wall.
Yeah, but here's my problem with that. Like, I think that he is, like, such a sweetheart, but watching him, like, be a man is, like, making me feel uncomfy because his baby face.
He does have a baby face, but it's cute.
Well, I was actually surprised to find out that he was 27. I thought he was going to be, like, 22.
I think he's adorable.
I thought that it was very slick and precious when he asked Hannah to be his girlfriend, but let's be very obvious, let's be very clear. In my opinion, the producers totally were like, you know, it'd be great if you asked Hannah to be your girlfriend.
Yeah, but you don't know that. Maybe you just
you're right. I don't know that.
In his heart, it was soul. I love Peter the Pilot. I think he's adorable.
It was really and also
he's my front runner.
Another thing you need to rewind and watch: Peter the Pilot gets pumped up right before the rugby game, and I was dying laughing. It was so funny.
I think he's adorable.
And then also in the rugby game, like, yeah, Luke P is violent and he's scary, and Luke S is, like, totally a loser and a weenie, but I thought that it was really obnoxiously annoying how Luke S just wouldn't accept the apology.
No.
Luke P did say, hey, man, I'm sorry. Like, do you remember that? He, like, walked over and he was like, I'm sorry about that. Like, just playing the game.
Yeah, let's
it's
talk.
Rugby, for God's sake.
Yeah, rugby, I thought
get
you
up and get over
beat
it.
Beat the crap out of
you
each
are.
Other. Like, that was the name of the game.
Oh, my God. He, like, was just such a little baby.
If he stays around, I think he's going home. But if he stays around, I feel like it'll be a two-on-one situation, like both Luke's.
Right.
Like, that will be the two-on-one. And she'll keep Luke P.
For sure.
I feel like he's going to hometowns, but I really don't want him to be the one she ends up with.
You know who I hope goes to hometowns?
Yep.
Tyler C.
Me too.
Okay.
I thought he was a player, and now I don't.
When Tyler C. said that line, the only thing I really need is you. What a line, you smooth criminal.
I know. I have goosebumps.
He swooped right in, and I feel like he wasn't necessarily a front runner.
He wasn't, because she thought he was a player, for sure.
Yeah.
But then
all of America just was swooning.
Yeah.
Like, you don't follow her because you don't have Instagram. Mallory Irvin, she's one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. She and her husband, like, do live Instagram stories while they're watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette just for, like, commentary. And her husband was cracking up because she's just, like, sitting there swooning over him, like, eyes glued to the TV. And I'm like, yes, that's... All of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, you're saying all the right things.
Yeah,
like,
he was cute.
He's a babe.
He is a babe. Did you like how the labor thing, and he was, like, trying to hold his... In the third episode, he was trying to hold his arm back and look sexy.
Yes.
And they're, like, shocking the crap out of his stomach
to imitate labor. Yes. I was like, why are you making this so attractive?
I don't know. What do you think of John Paul Jones?
John Paul Jones is from Maryland, and I'm embarrassed.
Is he?
He is.
I didn't know that.
He is. I think he's freaking hysterical.
I think he's a key, like, a shoe-in for paradise.
Oh my God, he is so perfect for Paradise. And I'm, you know how Evan and Carly found each other on Paradise and like Evan was really like an outcast on JoJo season? I wonder if that's going to happen for John Paul Jones.
I feel like he's going to be one of those ones that were weird here, but he's going to kill it in Paradise.
Oh my God.
All the girls are going to want him. That would I feel be like he's gotten cuter every episode. Like I didn't think he was that cute.
He kind of, well, okay, I'm not going to tell you who I think he looks like, but I'll tell you after we record who I think he looks like. And it's pretty funny. Oh, the Arthur fist. I was cracking up at the scene with Luke P on the couch when they're like attacking him and he's just staring and then you see him like make that fist. And then there's the meme of like Arthur with the fist. I was dying. That was so good.
And then they all got up and walked away from it. Like I kind of feel bad that like his life's gonna be ruined now.
Well, here's the thing, like I think Luke P is like totally a narcissist and some people are responding and they're like, I know him. He's a nice guy. You guys, that's the name of the game with a narcissist. Like they come across as really nice people. I'm not saying he's necessarily like overtly and consciously a bad person.
Yeah.
But he clearly has some issues going on. So let's just like ignore it, call it for what it is and like focus on your relationship with Hannah, you know?
Yeah, I haven't liked him since his intro video when he's like,
oh, all the girls love me and I take advantage of that.
And I take advantage of it and I've had sex with everyone in college. Yeah, and one day I looked down in the shower and I came to God.
Right. Didn't appreciate that.
No.
Next time we have you on the podcast, when we recap the Backstreet Boys concert and do our little trivia game, I want to talk about Dead to Me. We don't have time to talk about it today, but...
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Okay. I just finished it recently. It's so good, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's funny because I keep referring to the characters as, like, Christina Applegate and Velma, because the other girl...
I was doing the same thing.
What's her name? Linda...
Linda Cardinelli.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you watch it?
Yes.
I
finished it. It was one of those shows that I started watching on my own. And then my boyfriend slowly crept in. He was like, who's that? How do they know him? What are they doing
it's
over
so
there?
Crazy.
Well, it's a great story.
It's so good.
It's good
and
story
I know that you're
too.
Already thinking in your head like, oh, yeah, I know why Anna wants to talk about this, right?
You were the first person I thought of.
Really?
As soon as I got to about like episode this. 4 and you like learn more about all the characters, I was like, I can identify this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know what this is. I see what's happening.
Yeah.
So I have you and even Lindsay to thank for that too.
There you go.
Allison, so.
Yep. If you guys have not listened to episode 1 yet, it's called The Pilot. Tune in to episode 1 if you want some more context on what Jordan and I are talking about. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be now doing the end of our episode. I know that last episode I started doing a book recommendation as well as a quote. We are going to be recommending the book today, Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. Brené Brown is someone that I also talked about in the last episode. She is an author. She is a speaker. She has a TED Talk. I believe it's called The Power of Vulnerability. I might have that wrong. But if you just look up Brené Brown TED Talk, it'll come up and you'll see what I'm talking about. But Brené Brown is really cool. She studies shame and courage. And that's what Daring Greatly is about. It's about how there is no courage without vulnerability. So in order to be brave, to do something brave, you have to be vulnerable. And it's fascinating. It's really, really cool. She also has some other books that I would recommend. She has one called Rising Strong. That's actually a book that Lindsay recommended to me when I started working with her. And same thing. It's about the power of vulnerability. Really, really neat. But what I love about Daring Greatly is that Daring Greatly is a book that was inspired by the quote, The Man in the Arena. It's a Theodore Roosevelt quote. And I want to read it to you as kind of the airplane quote of the episode, the Criminal Minds quote of the episode. So here it is, The Man in the Arena. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who, what is that word, errs? errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither no victory nor defeat. And what I love about that, and if you follow my podcast Instagram, which is just at The Enough Podcast, you may have seen that I did a little an Instagram story on this recently about how that quote kind of applies here. So I obviously would love for everybody to love the podcast and to rate it well and to share it positively and give me positive feedback. But if you want to play big, you're opening yourself up to criticism and to failure to some degree. And it just made me realize, like, I need to give, kind of like what Kelly was saying, right? If you want to tie it all back together, give myself some grace and, like, be proud that I put myself in this vulnerable position, because at the end of the day, the reason that I'm seeing success is because I'm putting myself in a vulnerable place to see failure as well. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I just wanted to share that. I don't know if you guys have any commentary on the man in the arena. I feel like it's also really similar to the quote of, no one who criticizes you is doing anything bigger than you. It's always people who are doing something smaller than you. I don't necessarily agree with that, actually. I think everybody's, like, entitled to their opinion about anything, really. But I think maybe if somebody's really passionately hating you, it's very possible that they're not the man in the arena.
Very true.
You know?
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, so that concludes episode 5. I love this episode. I'm so grateful that we had Laura here today and Jordan in studio as well. I'm so grateful to Kelly for calling into the podcast, and it was just really an honor to interview her. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things on the next episode, so stay tuned. I'll be announcing that guest very soon. If you liked what you heard today, please subscribe, share with a friend. If you have comments, questions, anything you want us to address on the podcast, or anything you want us to share, please email us at podcast@enoughbiz.com. That's podcast@enoughbiz.com. You can also DM us on Instagram. Again, we're on Instagram at The Enough Podcast. And for today, that's enough. We'll catch you next time.